Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and from our risen Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Our text this morning is from Revelation chapter 21. And he who was seated on the throne said, "Behold, I am making all things new." And he said, "Write this down, for these words are trustworthy and true." And he said to me, "It is done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. To the thirsty I will give from the spring of the water of life without payment." This is the text. Christ is risen. Hallelujah. Soren Kierkegaard lived in Denmark in the early to mid 1800s. He's one of my favorite philosophers. He was the father of existential philosophy, a pattern of thought that unfortunately has become very corrupted, very much corrupted in later years. He was a devout Lutheran. And if you ever want to read a philosopher and you have to choose one, Kierkegaard would be the place to go. But he was justifiably critical of the Lutheran Church of Denmark in his writings. And he once wrote, he said, "The Bible is very easy to understand, but we Christians are a bunch of scheming swindlers. Because we pretend to be unable to understand it because we know very well that the minute we understand, we are obligated to act accordingly." Kierkegaard was making a very uncomfortable point. The law of God is a simple message. The gospel is a simple message. Even John's revelation is a very simple message. We've been going through this in our Sunday morning Bible class. We have seen, as we're, more than two-thirds of the way through the letter, it's a repeated message over and over again. John keeps revealing to us the same thing. We live in a fallen world corrupted by Adam. One day, this will all be gone, and there will be something new. We heard this last week in our epistle reading from Revelation 7. And like last week, we were told that God will wipe away every tear from our eyes, and he will make all things new. What we see throughout all of Scripture, beginning right at Genesis 3, right with the fall into sin, and God promises to send the Savior who had crushed the head of Satan and restore what was lost. We see this confirmed all the way through Scripture, and there in Revelation, we see Christ, who had been prophetically promised all throughout the Old Testament, who became flesh, went through the incarnation, he took on flesh, became the child of Mary, suffered and died, and rose again, just as he said he would. "In a little while you will not see me, then in a little while you will see me again," he told his disciples there in the upper room. And they were confused. They didn't understand the birth pains that he was about to go through as he uses that metaphor to describe what happened at the cross. It's like giving birth to a child. Your hour has come, and there's going to be a great deal of turmoil, and then new life. We now live in the days of new life. God has made all things new. We look at the story of Scripture. It's very easy to understand. It's something that little children have no problem receiving and believing. It's when we become adults or think that we're becoming adults that we become the, as Kierkegaard said, the scheming swindlers. the simple truth remains. Adam broke God's law and thereby broke his relationship with God. God sent his son, the second Adam, to fix our brokenness. We hear Jesus say, "It is done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end." Jesus says from the cross, "It is finished." Our salvation in Christ is complete. All that's left is for us to wait patiently for the new heaven and the new earth. For the old heaven and the old earth will pass away. Now, John doesn't tell us how this is going to happen. One of the things of our study of Revelation, we've seen again and again, it's not a roadmap for what's going to happen in the future. It is a recounting of what has been happening ever since Adam fell and will continue to happen until Christ does return. And it's not important how the end of the world will come about. We just know that it will. Isaiah said there will be a new heaven and a new earth. Jesus said there will be a new heaven and a new earth. And when it does happen, all of God's saints will forever join with the Lamb around his throne and for all eternity rejoice and sing for joy. Kierkegaard's issue with typical life within the church is that, as he pointed out, if you truly believe all of these things, that the Son of God entered the world to suffer your punishment, rose from the dead so that you can enjoy eternity in this new earth promised by God, where we in our resurrected bodies will dwell, if all of this is trustworthy and true, as Jesus says it is there in Revelation 21, if all of this is trustworthy and true, then we are scheming swindlers in how we treat God. I am a poor, miserable sinner. The good news is that the Son of God did enter the world to make all things new and to cover my sin and your sin and to wash it away in the waters of baptism so that you and I, and this morning finally Rosalind, can bear the name of God, baptized into your name most holy, we just sang. John records Jesus' words in Revelation 3, he says, "I will also write on him my new name," speaking of all of God's people. This morning, we got to see all things being new in a microcosm as we witness the new birth in the baptism of Rosalind. This child who cannot express the fullness of the gospel through words has nonetheless received the fullness of the gospel as God adopted her into his family and placing on her his name. With the baptism of God's people, we see how God makes all things new. Through the Lamb's perfect sacrifice, we have become freed from our sin. And now, through the washing of renewal, this regeneration, as Scripture says, in baptism, this new life, we can have that communion with God that was lost when Adam sinned. And we partake of a new reality in Christ, joining now once again in a union and communion with Christ our Lord as he comes to us under the form of bread and wine. Now, what Adam had in the garden, speaking to God face to face, being in the full communion and fellowship with God as the saints in heaven are, that is something that we have to wait for. That fullness of the perfection and sinlessness and complete communion in Christ. We get a foretaste of it here. We wait for and long for those days to come. Again, Kierkegaard's issue with us is that if we believe these things to be trustworthy and true, why do we treat God the way that we do? Why do we ignore His very clear will? His word is not a mystery. It's not that hard to understand. It is fully received in the faith of a little child. But as Kierkegaard said, we are scheming swindlers, poor, miserable sinners, trying to figure out how much we can get away with and still be okay with God. During this Easter season, we celebrate that which is trustworthy and true, the resurrection of our Lord, the empty grave, His empty grave and our empty grave. That's the promise we receive in baptism. That day is coming. We strive to live in the newness of this day. We strive to live in the newness of our baptismal reality. Today is a day not just for Rosalind, but for all of us to celebrate that we have been washed clean and made new in the sight of God. One of the wonderful things about the clear, simple message of the gospel: God forgives you. He has washed you clean. He has declared you to be His child. And He loves you in spite of your continual faults and failures, in spite of the fact that our heritage is of Adam. He loves you and forgives you and has welcomed you to eat at His table as a true member of His family. We celebrate what we have in the faith of our baptism. We celebrate what our future holds for us. We celebrate with all the company of heaven gathered around the throne of God, who hear the words of our Lord, who said, "Behold, I am making all things new." Amen. Christ is risen. Alleluia. The peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.